Jamie and Locker with you live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the site of the 112th Grey Cup as the Riders take on the Montreal Alouettes this coming Sunday. A little bit of a practice update from Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Keyshawn Johnson was out there. He did not finish practice, but it looked like it was a scheduled thing. Just get out there with the first team, couple of reps, and then shut it down. Is probably going to try to ramp it up to try to be ready to go, and what a boost that would be for the offense to have their number one receiver back in the lineup. Meanwhile, Davis Alexander keeps on going through different treatment after different treatment so he can be ready.
I'm surprised by the stem cell.
Well, he didn't say, he said stem treatment.
That's stem cell treatment. So they're shooting.
He said he doesn't like that one. He's like, he's like the laser stuff, the massage, all those things. He's like
infrared.
Yeah, the stem one was the one he said. I'm not a big fan of that one. Meanwhile, it's time to get a double take from Hall of Famer Darryl Davis.
Double take with Darryl Davis.
Our Green Zone game day analyst, resident Hall of Famer from the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, reporter Darryl Davis here on the Green Zone. I passed on my congratulations, Darryl, to Paul Friesen, who's going into the Canadian Football media wing this week for the Football Reporters of Canada. And you know Paul, he is very, very humble. And his line to me was, I guess if you hang around long enough, you can be a Hall of Famer. And I was like, come on, Paul.
Worked for me.
I was like, come on, Paul. I still have the audio back in the
certain
day.
Certain amount of clarity with AJ.
Yeah, Darryl. That's it. Yeah, they say eventually, maybe if we put him in, he'll retire and we can move him aside. That's it. Judy Owen's a pretty good inductee, too, right?
Yes, she is.
Yep, a pretty impressive group.
The second woman to be inducted in the Football Hall of Fame media wing, of course, Vicki Hall before her. I think I still have Freezer's back and forth. I hope I still have it when he went back and forth with Mike Kelly, the head coach.
Oh, see.
Of
Winnipeg.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
There were some classics. Paul Friesen's not scared to take shots at people. That's what usually good reporters, good columnists have to be able to do that, Jamie and Locker, you know. So, and Paul Friesen has always stood up for what he believes is right. So I'm impressed. I think Paul Friesen deserves to be there. I believe Judy Owen deserves to be in there, and makes me proud to be joined by people of such esteem.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of process, Darryl, when a new one comes in? Like, did they have to clear it with Darryl? You got to take him out?
For a long time, they did. Not anymore, Locker. I've stepped aside of that one. Yeah. We used to have to, a lot of times it was, yeah, how we used to meet at Labor Day at a local establishment and decide, who should we nominate this year? So it's gotten a lot more formal than that. Now there's a formal nomination process. The Football Reporters of Canada submit the possible names, and we take it. I'm on the Canadian Football Hall of Fame official selection committee, so we have to approve the media members now. So it's formal now. It gives it a little bit more prestige, I guess. So it's a good time. And Locker, I know you will have no problem getting up for the breakfast on Sunday morning, but make sure you give Jamie and Britton a shake to make sure that they get going too, okay?
He's already, Darryl, he is already telling me that I might be going by myself. Mm-hmm. You said that earlier.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I'll be at the breakfast. I found that I think this is what put Paul Friesen in the Hall of Fame.
The Cats are accusing you of cheating. That's not an issue, Coach?
I don't care what anybody has to say about it. It's a non-issue. It's been handled internally, and I'm not talking about it.
You constantly tell us you're the head of the football operations.
Yep.
You're responsible for everything.
Right. Non-issue. Handled internally. I'm not talking about it. Now, what don't we understand about that? Okay?
Seems a contradiction.
Non-issue, handled internally, not talking about it. There we go. We're done. Next question.
Can you handle it internally?
Seems like a contradiction, says Paul Friesen.
Yeah, he was right. You know what? Those are the organizations that never have any success, right? They're the ones, the closed doors ones that always think, oh, everything's a big secret. Danny Barrett never let any secrets out, and he thought he was doing a great job, and they never won anything when he was here, right? Craig Dickinson tried to keep things secret, too, behind cover a lot when they were here. It just doesn't work. That's why this team is successful. If they have a problem, they bring it forward, deal with it, and move on. And I think that that's a real tribute to Jeremy O'Day, the general manager, and to Corey Mace, the head coach. They treat the players like adults. They treat the fans with respect. They treat the media with respect. And I think the respectful teams have a lot better chance of winning a championship than teams that hide things like Mike Kelly used to.
Now, I got to say this. This is my first Grey Cup as a broadcaster. I've been to two in the past. Right.
Yeah.
But I've never actually covered one, and I was very disappointed, Daryl, that you weren't able to make this show.
That's okay. I've been to enough of them.
I'm serious.
Thanks, but 37 of them. Try to keep up to Jamie. I would. No, you know what?
No,
just
I won't do that.
Scratch that. Don't try to keep up to Jamie at this one.
Oh,
okay?
He's got no chance.
I know.
Last night was. He was. I think he left at 8:30. It was
a little bit later.
Locker on the loose. Hey, you guys didn't get him a scooter to travel around Winnipeg, did you?
We left the scooter at home.
Good. Okay.
There's legal issues around safety and We didn't need occupational health coming after it. But Daryl Davis.
Jamie, one sec. Sorry. I was just counting. I've been to 37 Grey Cups. I think the Riders have been in six of them, and they're 3-3 in the games that I've been at. So this would have been the best of seven. I'm okay. You guys tell me what happens. I'll just talk to Belton and you guys before the show and after.
His hint, by the way, was crackers and cheese. So I think you might be getting a charcuterie board for Grey Cup Sunday from Belton.
I'm good with that, man. Tough luck. See the things you guys miss when you're on the road? You miss all the great stuff.
Daryl, let's dig into a little bit of the Riders story going into Grey Cup week. News, Keyshawn Johnson is trying to work his way back. If he's close to 100%, what a boost that would be to his offense. Even though Joe Robustelli's good, Del Duncan Busby's good, Keyshawn Johnson's a CFL All-Star.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, one of their deep play threats, right? And they need them. You'd almost forgotten about Dante Meyers last game because they don't need the deep threat. They're trying to march their way downfield. And what a catch Dante Meyers makes. So if you've got two guys like that, Keyshawn Johnson doesn't drop passes either. Those are the guys who make key catches and make key plays in key times. So I think having him back will certainly make a difference. I keep thinking the strength of this football team now, Jamie. We watched it in Locker after that last game. That four Americans on that offensive line with Logan Ferland at center, I think it's just a real fortress for this football team. To think of the job that they did keeping BC's defensive line away from Trevor Harris and thinking how they're going to probably do the same thing with Montreal's great defense, keeping Trevor Harris safe for this game. Mm-hmm. I think that's the real key of this contest.
Let's dig into that a little bit more. What is it between the two defenses, which one do you think has the edge?
I think Montreal's is better. They rated themselves better, right? They have a few more sacks, not many more, but I just think that it seems like they're not afraid to try wild things once in a while. The last time you expect them to blitz, that's when they'll blitz. And I think that's Noel Thorpe, their defensive coordinator, is probably a real advantage that he has. Corey Mace is kind of predictable a lot of times. It's that laid back zone defense. He's blitzing more. He's had more success bringing that fifth guy from the Sam linebacker spot. But they're still a little bit more predictable. And I think in terms of talent, they're pretty close. Montreal's just got that little bit of an advantage over Saskatchewan.
It's a double take with Double D. Daryl Davis, our Hall of Fame reporter here on the Green Zone. Coming up, we're going to ask Daryl if he thinks Davis Alexander's turning into a bit of a villain in the Canadian Football League. The Mike O'Shea rumblings, as well as Amar Doman thinking in elbows of football. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It's bigger.
Waking for the man every night and day. And I never lost a minute of sleeping. Worrying about the way things might have been. We'll keep on fighting.
Jamie Locker and Daryl Davis. A double take with Double D. Daryl.
Yes?
Can you tell the difference between an elbow and a football?
Can video review?
Apparently, because thing Amar Doman wasn't running the replay God sent her on Saturday because he didn't know the difference between a football and an elbow.
I think he must have been running it for the regular season finale because he certainly gave the Rough Riders the shaft on two calls. You know what? If Amar Doman thinks that this is serious enough to remove all video review from the CFL, yes, then that was a football. It wasn't an elbow. And let's get rid of video review and make the game better.
Do you think he'll get fined?
Yeah, he'll get his knuckles wrapped. They'll say, listen, you can't do things like that. There might be a little thing and say, give some money to charity or something, and we'll say we fined you. I think, yeah, you've got to kind of stick with it, right? He's the guy who's backing it, so I think that they might do something like that.
If C.J. Rivas says, you know, that's a BS call and he gets fined, I don't see how an owner can say that's a BS call and not get fined.
Good point, right?
I
don't like that they don't announce what the owners get fined.
Or management, right? Or management
that bothers
management gets told, but you can't tell us how much the players get fined is the rule, right? Players Association suspensions, yes, but not fines.
Well, they announce they get fined, just not the amount of fine. You don't even find out if an owner gets fined.
Right.
They don't disclose that publicly either. So,
And they won't tell us how much a player gets nailed because it's a part of his salary, and we're not supposed to know how much they make. So that's
okay, Davis Alexander had a chat with him earlier today. He said, "I know people are starting to hate me, but I'm a good guy." he's kind of turned. Someone texted in. He's turning into Brad Marchand of the CFL. Do you get that from Davis? Is he a villain now, like Bo Levi Mitchell was early in his career?
Oh yeah, they have a lot of the same brashness. Didn't you see him at the East Final the way he was taunting the Hamilton fans? You know, bring it on. That's okay. He hasn't lost a game. Bo Levi Mitchell started the same way. So you're free to do that. You know, take off your helmet, strut around a little bit, show your successes. But you should do the same thing if you lose or throw an interception. I think he's great for the league. He's a wonderful player. The team responds to him. So that's going to make it really exciting. How healthy is he? That's the big question of the week, obviously. But I think that his brashness, he's going to do something like a rookie mistake. It's just the feeling I have that there's going to be a rookie mistake made by him in this upcoming game that's going to cost his team.
Okay, final one for a little rapid fire with Double D, Daryl Davis on Double Take. What decision do you think Mike O'Shea will make now that Dave Naylor's reporting the ball's in his court to either take a job in Toronto, the Tiger Cats, are interested in him, although I think it's down to Toronto or Winnipeg. Well, what do you think Mike's going
to
do?
Yeah, I think Danny McManus will probably be going to Hamilton as the general manager. It's probably a perfect fit for him over there.
Okay.
I think O'Shea is going to go to Toronto. I really, you know.
Really?
Yeah, every year it's kind of at the end. Remember we talked to him last year, and he said at Grey Cup, and he says, I always wait till the end of the year to sign my contract. No big deal. And it's not as if it's a perfect relationship between him and Kyle Walter, the general manager. It's a good relationship. They're successful. But you know what? There was a little bit of slippage last year. So maybe Mike O'Shea says, you know what? Maybe it's time. He's done everything he can basically in Winnipeg. It might be time to give it a try. Get something going in Toronto, in Argoland, and see if they can do it. I don't know if he's going to be able to push John Murphy aside. John Murphy, for all his faults, is still very good at finding talent. So I think he's going to have to keep him around a little bit. But I think Mike O'Shea is going to have to get some of that power to be the general manager. And then it's appealing to him to become the head coach of the Argonauts.
Is a guy like Kevin O'Shea successful?
Mike O'Shea.
Is he successful in Toronto as a general manager / coach?
If he's got good scouts around him, he's still, you know, being a general manager means you have to have people around. Like Jeremy O'Day is pretty good judge of talent in Saskatchewan, but he's also got guys around him, right, who are good. Well, and you got Paul Jones, one of the legendary talent finders in the Canadian Football League working for you. You don't have to be that great as a general manager. You have to hire a good coach, but you trust the guys who find players. I think O'Shea will be fine. They might need some patience because it took him a while to build up that franchise in Winnipeg to make it an annual competitor. So I think it might take a little bit of time. But, yes, I think he'll be successful in Toronto. He seems to be successful everywhere.
Well, Daryl, we'll leave it there. I will talk to you on Sunday.
You'll be missed.
For the 112th Grey Cup.
I'm serious about that, Daryl. Thanks, but I don't miss the stress or the work, guys. It's really relaxing around here. There's hardly any traffic jams around here. Everybody's out of town, it seems like.
Oh, is the construction over?
Well, sort of. They just set up something on Saskatchewan Drive for, you know, just to, right at 5 o'clock to bring it down to one lane. I don't know what they're doing. And Dutney and 11th still aren't open, so I don't know, you guys.
Oh, I thought
they said they opened up 11th.
No, yeah. 11th is open. No.
Okay, yeah, but it's only temporary. From what I've been told, they have to go back and pave it again next year because they didn't get the right type of paving on it. So let's see what happens next summer.
Goodness. Well, there's lots of construction in Winnipeg.
I can't wait to run into Luke Wilson and let him know tomorrow.
All right.
That is our Darryl Davis here on the Green Zone.
Thanks, Darryl.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Keyshawn Johnson was practicing for the first bit of Rider practice, and then he left. He's trying to get revved up to be able to play in the 112th Grey Cup. Davis Alexander started practice, went in for treatment, then came out for practice, as that continues to be a storyline. Dave Naylor reporting that Mike O'Shea, the ball's in his court. Toronto wants him. Winnipeg wants him. Now he gets to decide where he wants to be.
I think he goes to Toronto.
I don't know. That'd be a hard one. And tough news. University of Saskatchewan Huskies quarterback Anton Amenrud, who left the team midway through the season, did tell his teammates and his team that he has been diagnosed with lymphoma as the team rallies around their quarterback for the Mitchell Bowl this Saturday. You're listening to The Green Zone, live from Grey Cup on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday of Grey Cup week. We are live from Winnipeg, and you will find us live from Winnipeg all week long. Fan Fest is starting up tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
That's where we're going to be broadcasting from.
I'm crossing my fingers.
We're supposed to be there today.
Let's just say the Grey Cup Festival is
a little
underwater right now.
Well, they got a lot on their plate.
Absolutely.
I understand.
It opens tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The team parties start opening up, the kickoff concert, all those things going on tomorrow as it really starts to rev up going into the weekend here in Grey Cup City, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I will say this. Everybody that we have dealt with has been pleasant as
all the volunteers
are. They're amazing.
Fantastic.
They are. Yeah.
Even let Locker jump a curb today to try to get to where we're. They move the whole barricades aside. Locker's coming. Move the barricades. All he said was, you guys look official.
I jumped the curb nicely, Murray. It was a nice jumping of the curb in the CJME vehicle.
Yeah, just come up here. Just come park here. I know it's tough parking. Right here is good. It's like, okay, we're in the middle of a sidewalk, but if you say it's okay, thank you very much. Yeah. Just to unload some stuff, and then we moved.
Through the hazards on.
Yeah. There you go. Anyways, meanwhile, Locker is on the loose in Winnipeg. Check it out on our socials at Green Zone SK, or you can follow us with the Jamie and I, the sports guy, Facebook page. But Locker was on the loose trying to find out who Winnipeg was cheering for Grey Cup 112.
Let's go, Riders!
Anybody?
Locker on the loose.
The Green Zone is live in Winnipeg this week for the 112th Grey Cup, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. I'm roaming the streets of Winnipeg right now to find out who Winnipeg is cheering for. All right, Kim.
Happy Wednesday.
And we're cheering for who for the Grey Cup?
We have nobody in particular since the Bombers are out.
All right, just everybody
have a good
fun.
Time.
All right.
And awesome. Behave.
Matt, Winnipeg is hosting Grey Cup. You got Saskatchewan in town. You got Montreal in town. Who are you cheering for?
I hate to do it, but I got to cheer for the Rough Riders.
Charlene, Winnipeg is hosting the Grey Cup featuring Saskatchewan and Montreal.
Yep.
Who are you cheering for?
Montreal.
All right. Okay. We'll allow.
No, I'm not.
She can't do it. She can't do it.
Anti-Rough Riders.
Jim, Winnipeg is hosting the Grey Cup, the 112th. We got Saskatchewan Rough Riders in town and the Montreal Alouettes. Who are you cheering for?
Unfortunately, I'm cheering for Saskatchewan.
I like how you qualified that.
It hurts me to do that, but I'm going to have to.
All right, sounds good.
Stick with the West.
So, Dana, Winnipeg is hosting the Grey Cup.
Yes.
You got the Saskatchewan Rough Riders,
uh-huh.
And you got the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah.
Who are you cheering for?
It's got to be Montreal. You can't cheer for Sask.
You can't cheer for Sask?
My parents have season tickets, and I was like, you guys could sell the tickets, and they're like, we couldn't sell them. What if Rough Riders get them? So they're going to be there cheering for Montreal.
Winnipeg is hosting the Grey Cup, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Montreal Alouettes. Jim?
Hi. Who are you cheering for? I'm cheering for the Rough Riders. I cannot bring myself to cheer for the Alouettes. And the Riders are my second team.
John, how are you doing today?
Great, man.
Grey Cup this Sunday.
Yeah, let's go Alouettes.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Who are you cheering for?
The Bombers have a big rivalry with Saskatchewan, so...
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
There you go. The Riders are getting some love from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yes, begrudgingly at times, but... But it's there.
The gentleman, unfortunately,
there's a lot of size today.
With Saskatchewan.
It is interesting. Quite often, when a host team, maybe it's the pressure to get back, right? Like maybe it's too much. But
well,
for
there was
five
a run
straight
there.
Years, they get to the Grey Cup, and then the year they're hosting, they've got to host the Rough Riders.
Well, there was three straight years the host team won the Grey Cup. It was 2011, the BC Lions won in Vancouver.
Okay.
2012, Toronto at the 100th Grey Cup in Toronto.
They did win the one.
And then... That was Ricky Ray, and then Saskatchewan in 2013 at home. Three straight years, the home team not only made the Grey Cup, but won the Grey Cup. So
it can happen.
That has not been there. Hamilton got to a Grey Cup, but they lost it in Hamilton, of course, to the aforementioned Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We're bringing you the highlights of day two of the Green Zone in Winnipeg. Had a chat with quarterback Davis Alexander of the Montreal Alouettes on the emotional couple of hours and days it was. Remember when he came up last year, beat the Rough Riders at Mosaic Stadium with a heavy heart as his father was literally on his deathbed as Davis Alexander was flying back and forth from the United States to Canada to play ball. And that he still remembers. That will be one of the most special nights. Was that win in Saskatchewan?
You know, super, super hostile environment. I didn't practice all week. You know, I was dealing with all that stuff going on with my dad right before he passed away. I mean, that was one of the craziest games, craziest emotions. You know, I probably slept 3 hours prior to getting to Regina the whole week. I didn't eat much. My emotions were everywhere, but. And that, you know, obviously, the foot and bounds play, the play that people don't want to ever not talk about. That game meant everything to me, just, you know, with my dad in the hospital, you know, struggling a little bit, but my family was there with him watching, and he was able to pick up a little bit on the game. So, definitely pretty couple incredible games there.
Your dad passes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the final games, really, that he can witness. Like, what does that moment mean? And now that you're here, you're a step away from a championship.
Yeah. He wasn't really able to watch that game necessarily. He was more so, like, listening. From what my family was saying, you know, you could tell that there was still emotion in him, and, you know, he knew what was going on. It means everything to me. I mean, this is, you know, he's one of my biggest supporters in life, if not the biggest. You know, he always believed in me, maybe when things were even tough and hard. He always believed that I was the best in the world. That's what he would tell me. But he also demanded the best out of me every single day. I'm so thankful for him and his impact, and I know he would be so proud now. He'll be with us all on Sunday. It's going to be a beautiful thing, and I love him. I miss him, and yeah, it's easy to play for.
That is Davis Alexander talking.
That was a great shot.
Yeah.
Good job on that, Jamie.
And that's why when people are like, I'm like, I don't see it. And Bo Levi Mitchell, once you get to know him. Their characters, personalities, they got ego. They got to have ego when you're a quarterback, right? Like even we're seeing a little bit more of it from Trevor Harris with, I don't want to talk about, I went one-on-one and actually talked to Trevor about that comment last week on Nathan Rourke and a little bit more brashness going on.
You'll when we run that on that tape?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
You'll hear that Friday. Corey Mace, you'll hear from the head coach tomorrow. I was able to chat with him. So it's just, those you have to. So I'm not going to hold it too much against Davis Alexander with the brashness that you're seeing from a young quarterback who's 13-0. He should be cocky.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost yet.
Yeah.
At 13-0 as a starting quarterback, although Rider Nation hopes it's 13-1 after the Grey Cup. Also today,
13's one of those numbers.
Oh, never thought of that. The number 13 is meaningful when it comes to Saskatchewan, so maybe that's it for Davis Alexander. It ends at 13. A man who knows way too much about 13 is Jeremy O'Day, offensive lineman, general manager. And if you missed any of our coverage today, you can go check it out on our podcast. Please do. These are some of the highlights of our day as Jeremy O'Day talked about helping as the general manager, getting this team back after 12 years to a Grey Cup.
It's an awesome feeling, obviously, to be back at the Grey Cup. And you put so much work into trying to get to this point. So, it feels great. I'm super, proud to represent the players, the organization, the province here. And so it's a lot of fun. You're trying to, do your job, but also taking a little bit take a little bit of time to recognize where we're at.
When you talk about a championship team, you've been on them. Culture gets brought up. What was it about Corey's interview that went, okay, this is the right guy to bring in the right culture?
I think it's a combination of, the information that you gather from people that had worked and played for him in the past, just to try to figure out what that actually looked like. Getting to know the person is pretty easy. He's a pretty genuine guy, and he's honest, hardworking, committed. But just the little things that he brought up about his vision for the Rough Riders and where he wanted to see us at, and his disappointment that we don't have more championships. And so the combination of all that, and then just spending time with him. If you spend any time with him at all, you know what he's about. But the players gravitate to him. He's a player's coach, but he also holds them very accountable.
That is the general manager, Jeremy O'Day. Of course, the full interview, you can find it on the podcast section of our website, cjme.com, cklm.com, or wherever you find your Green Zone podcast. Coming up next, we have one story that I'm champing and Locker's jumping next on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM.
Winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. Actually, two champs today for me. Two chumps for Locker. Matthew and Brady Tkachuk.
I saw this coming.
Are launching the Wingmen podcast. Yeah, the Wingmen. It's the creator of New Heights are giving Brady and Matthew their brotherly pod.
You know what's funny about that?
For hockey players.
Is that you've got one guy that's probably a little like Jason, and you got another one that's like Travis. Brady is Travis.
I'm champion. I'll watch. Locker? I don't think it's going to be as good as the New Heights.
Locker, you got to be excited about more content.
No. It's been nice with both of them injured right now. It's been quiet on the Kachuk front.
Locker's face when I said, hey, the Kachuks are launching a podcast was,
of course they are. Wingmen, it's called, if you're interested.
There you go. The brotherly love on a new podcast. I wonder if Dad's going to be their first guest.
Oh, I hope so.
Keith Kachuk.
Because that's what we need in our lives. More Kachuk.
More Kachuk.
Yeah. Brutal. Anyway, when is that coming out?
Isn't it tomorrow? I'm pretty sure it's like right away here. But
oh,
I just want to know if Mrs. Kachuk is as awesome as Donna Kelsey is. The Kelsey brothers' mom,
she might be the
awesome.
Only redeemable one. She's in that commercial.
Oh yeah. Don't make me pull over.
Yeah. Maybe. And when you have that kind of dysfunction in your life, there's someone that has to have their, you know what, together.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be mom. It has to be mom.
Champs and chumps here on the Green Zone. As we get to the 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Keyshawn Johnson practiced for the Rough Riders today. Limited, but did practice. Davis Alexander was in and out for the Montreal Alouettes as he started practice, then went for treatment, then came back out again. Dave Naylor, our CFL insider and TSN, is reporting Mike O'Shea has an offer for Toronto, has an offer from Winnipeg. Now it's up to him to decide where he wants to go next season. I'm sure we'll have a lot more on that story. And the head coach of the Rough Riders, Corey Mace, went one-on-one with me. You'll hear it tomorrow on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.